You're very welcome back. You are listening to Global Village. Kieran Cudahy with you this evening. 53106 is the text number. Now, we all know how successful the Yes Equality campaign was here in Ireland back in 2015. But the fact remains that for millions of people around the world, marriage equality doesn't exist. Ireland is still an exception to the rule to a large extent. That may be about to change in Australia. They're voting on same-sex marriage in a moment, but it's not as straightforward as our referendum. And we'll get into that with Craig Dwyer. People will remember it was Ireland's Yes Equality social media officer. He is also formerly of this parish, we should say that. I spent some time in News Talk. He is in Australia helping with the campaign there, and he joins me now on the line. Craig, you're very welcome to the show.
Kieran, lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you too.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. Tell me, I suppose, explain the process to us first, because, you know, ours was very straightforward to an extent. Not so in Australia.
Yeah, I thought when we had the referendum in Ireland, you know, we were the first country that introduced marriage equality by popular vote. So at that time, we thought that it wasn't a straightforward process, but then compared to Australia, it definitely was. So what we're faced with here at the moment is a postal survey. So the government that are currently in power, they wanted to put they wanted to give the power to the people and have them to decide on the issue. So they put forward a bill in Parliament to have a plebiscite, which would mean that it would be a compulsory vote of the people. Now, the opposition voted that down because they, in their opinion, it was the Parliament's job to legislate for marriage equality and that there didn't need to be a vote of the people. So that's why we now find ourselves... Yeah,
so just... To get this straight, in Australia, obviously they don't have a written constitution like we have. So essentially the parliament can pass a huge amount of legislation without going to the people. But in this case, the Liberal Party, when they were campaigning, said, look, we want the people's voice to be heard. We're not going to kind of go off and do a solo run here. But the Conservative, was it kind of a political ideological basis? They said, well, no, look, this is the job of Parliament to decide this. Or was that really just an excuse? Is there just a kind of opposition to marriage equality within the Conservative Party?
Yes, it definitely was. Malcolm Turnbull, who's the Prime Minister here, he's very much playing up to his Conservative base by putting it to the people. They don't want to legislate for it necessarily. So I think it's by having the postal survey is almost like his get out of jail card. So if a majority yes vote comes back, well then that's when they will look at introducing legislation then.
Okay, so it sounds a little like, I suppose, the accusations thrown at Enda Kenny and the Fine Gael government over the Citizens' Assembly. You know, we don't really want to deal with this, but if we give it to them and they tell us we have to, then, you know, it looks like our hands are tied. Is that kind of a fair comparison?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way of putting it. You know, it was an election promise that Malcolm Turnbull made ahead of the election last year. He said, like, look, if we're voted in to government, we will put it to the people. And he's very strong of the opinion that it should be, like, people have the democratic right to have a say, and it should be up to the people. So, you know, there is an argument to be made for that, but at the same time, if it can be done by legislation, like it has been done in so many other countries, that's kind of what that's what the opposition would have been pushing for, and many of the people as well. But also in saying that, look, I think we have to recognise that we are now in this process where it is a postal survey, a vote of the people is taking place. So now the priority is to make sure that it is a majority yes vote in the end.
So, yeah, so we have this postal survey. It's not compulsory. A lot of voting in Australia is compulsory. This isn't. Just talk us very briefly through the timeline again. Exactly when will we know the results of this survey?
Yeah, okay. So I think that's one thing worth noticing as well, that this is non-compulsory. If it had been a plebiscite, it would have been a compulsory vote, whereas this isn't. And that's unusual in Australia. So that adds another dimension and another challenge to this. The voting process has begun. Ballots started, they're actually surveys. So it's the Australian Bureau of Statistics that are carrying out this postal survey. So the survey started arriving this week, and the voting process is open until November 7th, all surveys have to be back by that date, and then the results will be announced on the 15th of November.
And before then, we talk about, I suppose, the campaign and what lessons they can take from Ireland and all of that. Assuming that there's a positive result from a marriage equality point of view, a private member's bill, I understand, is introduced. And is that guaranteed to pass? Has there been kind of commitments from all parties that, look, if the majority of the people by this postal vote survey are in favour, we'll pass the legislation? Or is there then a danger it still gets to Parliament and it's still defeated?
No, the perception is that it will be legislated for. Malcolm Turnbull, the Prime Minister, has stated emphatically that if a yes vote is returned on the 15th of November, they will move to legislate very quickly. A private member's bill will be introduced and the government will have a free vote on the bill. I think that's kind of crucial. So up until now, the Liberal Party wouldn't have had a free vote and they would have been under the party whip, and that therefore any legislation to legislate for marriage equality would not have passed. So the crucial element is that the private member's bill that will be introduced, they will have a free vote on that. And Malcolm Turnbull has also said he expects it to fly through and be enacted before Christmas.
Okay, so that's the timeline and that's everything that's happening at the moment and the party politics of Australia. Craig, how did you end up in the middle of all this out there?
Okay. Tiernan Brady, who also worked on the Yes campaign in Ireland, he's been actually over here for the past 18 months. So he is the director of the Equality campaign. So we've talked a bit through the process here, and they've been back and forth for a while now. So the campaign thought it was going to be a plebiscite, but then it looked like that was off the table and it looked like it was going to be legislated for. And then that was off the table and suddenly there was a postal survey. So when they realised that kind of this was what the campaign was going to look like, then they needed to form a team of people very quickly because, you know, the timeline was very short. It was kind of the postal survey was announced at the end of August and ballots were going out less than 2 weeks later. So they were kind of lacking, I suppose, in somebody with specific skills around social media. And Tiernan was like, well, I know the guy who might be able to give us a hand. So I got a phone call at 3 a.m. in the morning, Irish time, and I was on a flight a couple of days later down to Sydney.
Okay, so you've been involved. You're there, I think you were telling me, you're only there for a month anyway, on a voluntary basis, involved in the campaign. How does it compare, the campaign there, to the campaign that was run in Ireland?
I think what's similar here is the fact that now we're looking at a very big get out the vote operation. So similar to at home as well, we know that the majority of the support here is among the younger voters, so the under 35s, but they're the ones that are less likely to fill out their surveys and bring them back to their post box.
And that this is a new, because, as you said, again, because of the plebiscite norm in Australia, this is kind of a new thing that they have to deal with, is it? Again, if they get out the vote.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So usually it's compulsory voting. They have to vote, and if they don't, they're fined. So now, and people, I think, are somewhat, some people, I think, are confused by what the process that's going on. Some people are annoyed at the process that's going on. You know, so we're just trying to overcome all of those challenges and explain to people, like, you know, that this is a challenge that's been set, kind of let's rise above. And I think it's worth noting as well that, like, the Australian people have made their mind up on this. You know, all the polls are in support of it. And it's been an issue that's kind of been ongoing now for a few years. So there is the language that I've noticed that's really kind of working and resonating with people, and you hear it on the streets, is that people are like, let's just get this done now. You know, so it's just crucial that we actually just get them out and get them filling in their surveys as soon as they arrive and putting them back in their postbox.
Is the sense that a plebiscite or a postal vote, like which is more likely to play into the hands of those who are campaigning for a yes vote for marriage equality? Well, like would a plebiscite have made the result more or less likely?
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I actually think that a plebiscite would have worked in our favour because We know that the majority of Australians are in support of the issue. But you can be sure that with this process and the non-compulsory vote, you can be sure that every single no person, they're going to turn out and vote. You know, I think the older people, and we would have seen it at home, they take their vote very seriously, whereas the younger demographics just are just not as engaged. Now, you know, we were worried that that might be the same case in Ireland, but it didn't turn out to be like that in the end. We had huge support from the younger demographics, because there was kind of that very strong get out the vote campaign. So we're just trying to emulate some of the tactics from that campaign here to try and achieve the same.
And in the wake of the equality referendum here, I suppose a lot of the lessons that people were taking, or they talked about taking and applying elsewhere, was the tone of the campaign, the positivity, that it was seen as, you know, a vote, a yes vote was a celebration. Is that something that I suppose that Tiernan and others had already applied there? Is it something that you're applying? Is it something that, I suppose, even before Tiernan appeared, that campaigners there had seen what happened in Ireland and thought, look, this has to be positive. That's how you get this over the line.
I think that's part of the reason why Tiernan was actually brought over. People who were involved in the movement over here recognised that shift needed to take place, that it needed, you know, that you're not going to win over the opposition by kind of using negative language and trying to... winning is not about beating the other side. It's about persuading them and bringing them along, you know. So I think the last 18 months, that this kind of campaign has been going on, there has been a shift in that narrative, and similar to what we saw at home. And, you know, it is, you know, the campaign is about respect and dignity now, and it's about having those conversations about why it is important to vote yes. So that's very similar to what we saw at home.
What about the no campaign? Is that similar to how it was portrayed here, that essentially it was, I suppose, you know, people framed it as a discussion about, you know, children's rights and mothers and fathers and the sky falling in, essentially, if the constitution was changed?
It's remarkably similar in terms of like the no side arguments. They're very much kind of focusing on schools, and if this is introduced, well, then, you know, children will be taught about 300 different types of genders, and, you know, there'll be boys will be allowed to wear dresses to school if they want. And so this is the type of the arguments that they're using. They're also worried about religious freedoms, and they're using the Asher's Bakery case in the north of Ireland as an example of that.
Okay.
And, you know, people won't be allowed to have their freedom of expression. So we're hearing all of those kind of arguments. But again, you know, they're using the same tactics as the opposition at home. They're actually talking about everything but the issue. They're not talking about marriage equality. They're talking about everything around it. So we're just trying to keep the Australian people focused on what they're actually being asked.
In terms of the Irish community in Australia, because there is a huge Irish community, an expat community, and then first and second generation Irish, are they a homogenous group in this vote, in this campaign? Do they all kind of vote together? Would they lean one way, obviously, or the other?
Yeah, from what I've seen, the strong Irish community here are a big yes. There was a rally at the weekend in Sydney. They love their rallies over here. But there was a rally in Sydney the weekend, and there was 30,000 turned out of that. And there was a big contingent of the Sydney Queer Irish group that were there with all of their banners. I could see yes posters and posters of Mrs. Brown and stuff like that. So, which was great to see as well.
All right. Well, look, people, as Craig said, can keep track of this over the next about 6 weeks. It'll be November 7th before things start coming in, November 15th before we get a final answer, and then a private member's bill will be introduced in Parliament one way or the other. Craig Dwyer, Yes Equality social media officer, who's out in Australia taking part in the campaign on a voluntary basis. Craig, thanks very much for coming on the show. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks a million, Kieran. Talk to you later.
Thanks very much. Stay with us here on Global Village. We'll be back in a moment.